Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable unto you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. So an odd thing happened this week. What's that play, an odd thing happened on the way to summer? Nothing? I'm going to have to look that up. It's coming back to me. There was a play they did in Niagara once. Anyway, an odd thing happened this week on my way to Sunday. I didn't stress about the sermon. At least not in the hair-pulling, head-banging on desk, pacing back and forth way I usually stress about what I'm going to share with you on Sundays. See, the theme for this week, this third week, the season of creation, is the light in me. And as I enjoyed the amazing weather we've been having these last few days, as the colorful display the trees offer lingers in spite of the wind and rain, as the geese don't seem to be running away too soon, well, I guess geese don't run, they fly. Anyhow, I wake up to them honking joyously every morning. It just seems like creation itself is filled with delight in all that God has made. So I wasn't too concerned for this week, and I sort of figured in some odd way today's sermon would, write itself. Like somehow the sunrises that have been taking my breath away lately would translate themselves into words on my page. Sounds crazy, I know, but just look at that. That was out my bedroom window on Thursday morning. Imagine if I could write a sermon that sounded the way that sunrise looked. I mentioned to a friend later that day that I don't think I've ever seen so many beautiful sunrises before. My friend, who happens to have been born and raised in Saskatchewan, rolled her eyes at me and said, "Are you kidding me? The sky here is always amazing. Land of blue skies, hello. Every day a different masterpiece is painted for us. I think you just don't take the time to enjoy it enough." She was, of course, right. And it came crashing down on me how many sunrises I've noticed and how many I've rushed past totally unaware of. How is it possible that I delight so little in the world around me and the ordinary yet stunning experiences that bless my life every day? It's almost as if I'm so distracted by other things that I resist the joy that God is placing right in front of my eyes literally every morning. And that was this morning at 6:30. And there's a little heart. You see that? I just noticed that. Anyhow, I know I'm not alone. Lots of people I share this road of life with run through their days and resist joy. We resist sorrow, too, for the record. We tend to spend most of our energy being angry or complaining. And this isn't a judgment on anyone, so don't worry, I'm not being judgmental. It's just a weird thing we humans have gotten into the habit of doing. More often than not, we focus on the negative things that happen and almost completely dismiss the positive ones. It's peculiar. Barb Morris, on her blog, Be Radically Rooted, introduced me this week to Dr. Rick Hansen, a neurological psychologist. He's got a great TED Talk for anyone who's interested. He takes a scientific look at why we resist joy. Turns out, we humans are hardwired to something called a negativity bias. This means the brain is very good at learning from negative experiences and not so good at learning from positive ones. Something bad happens and it sinks right in, takes up residence and weighs us down. But when good things happen, they tend to go unnoticed. They don't stick with us in the same way that bad things do. Part of this is due to a lingering trait from our prehistoric ancestors. Remembering bad things ultimately kept them alive, right? Fall off with bad, don't do that again. But today generally comes down to the fact that when we spend a long time thinking about something, it moves from our short-term memory reserve to our long-term memory reserve. Think of it this way. How many of you, at the end of the day, when you're falling asleep in bed, take a deep breath, and start spending mental energy dwelling on the things that went right. Those things you succeeded at, those moments in your day that were peaceful, where you found joy or delight. Now, how many of you spend your mental energy running over the ways you failed, the mistakes you made, the things you forgot to do, the situations or people you worry about, that argument you had, that thing you said that you regret saying? Inside voice, Nora, inside voice. We simply spend more time remembering, stressing, and agonizing about the bad things versus the good ones. And again, no judgment here. It's not even our fault. Our brains are just wired this way. And honestly, it is nice to know there's a scientific reason why I can so easily hold on to my anger at Derek for not cleaning the kitchen, but shluff off the random "I love you, hope your day goes okay" text that he sends, or the nice bottle of cab sab he has waiting for me at the end of a long week. The good news is that while we're hardwired this way, Dr. Hansen says it doesn't have to be this way. We can, in fact, rewire our brains. And it's not even that hard to do. If you're comfortable, I'd like us to try an exercise he suggests. For a moment, bring to mind someone in your life who cares about you. This can be a friend, a family member, a pet, a community. It doesn't matter. Someone who's with you now, someone from your past, it doesn't matter. What you're wanting to do is have a good experience in the remembering. Everybody have someone? Now allow the memory of the experience to become a feeling. It's amazing that remembering a happy moment makes us happy all over again. So once you've got the memory of the person or people or situation who've made you happy, and you have that feeling of happiness in your heart, stay with it. Allow it to sink in. It doesn't take much for bad feelings to take over and lead us to a bad place. And it infuriates me because it happens so easily. In my family, we call it sabotage. We're having a grand day, there's laughter, relaxation, friends, family, a long list of enjoyable and delightful things, and one thing goes wrong. A stubbed toe, a hurt feeling, Derek gets hangry. And just like that, the entire day's ruined. And it's all we remember. Even though there was far more good in the day than bad, what we hold on to is the bad. But when we train our brains to focus on the good as much as we do the bad, so we don't dismiss the bad things or pretend they didn't happen, we're not asking for that. We just try to hold both. We become more balanced and ultimately more content. And at the end of the day, the good things transfer from short-term memory to long-term memory, and we become happier. I feel this is how God longs for us to exist. God has filled this world with so many things, like the rainforest and sunrises and songbirds and the color blue. God has surrounded us with people who show up just when we need them. How do they do that? Show up at just the right time and touch us with grace and mercy and love. All of this was done that our lives might be filled with abundant joy and delight. The psalmist tells us, "Take delight in God, and the Holy One will give you the desires of your heart." When I was in high school, I loved that passage. I was convinced that all I had to do was delight in God, and God would give me all the things I wanted, like cool hair and a car and popularity. I know now that isn't what this means. God is not a fairy godmother who waves a magic wand, even if it's made out of willow, and grants us our wishes. But I do believe that God wants us to be delighted in our lives, to know the blessings that we have every day, so that when we fall asleep at night, we do so with gratitude in our hearts, not just anxiety or resentment. In her book, Radical Gratitude, Mary Jo Leddy wrote, "There is a moment each day when it is morning before it is morning. Darkness still hovers over the deep. Those who wait for the dawn can hear it, even before they see it." This is how I felt these past mornings, as I've intentionally watched the sunrise, as though I can hear the morning before I see it, as though I can accept the beauty of this particular day that God has gifted me with before I even experience the highs and lows that it holds for me. It's a lovely feeling, moving from darkness into light. Maybe the author of 1 Peter knew what that was like too, knew how it felt to be drawn by God into marvelous light, one that we might delight in if we only take the time to notice it, wait for it, linger it, allow the feeling of delight, happiness, joy, contentment, and gratitude for one more sunrise to sink in. So one more time, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And bring to mind the face of a person you cherish. Or let your thoughts wander to your happy place. Or spend a little time with a fond memory. And as the memory becomes a feeling, allow the delight it brings to sink in and take root. Know it for the blessing that it is. And when you're ready, say thank you. Amen.